Let us once again call upon the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, enlighten our minds, strengthen us with your Holy Spirit, guide us with your grace as we open your word. May we honor and revere that word as coming from you. May we take that word and study it, apply it, live it in gratitude. And as we look this morning at the calling you give to office bearers in your church, we pray that we as office bearers, we as men, we as congregation may take our calling seriously. We pray for your Holy Spirit to be given unto your people, that you will give them ears to hear, and also unto your servant, that he may preach your word in faithfulness and truth for the building up of the people of God. We thank you that in Jesus Christ, we have the living word in us. Work now mightily among us for the glory, for the honor, and for the praise of your holy name. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Congregation, let us turn now in the Word of God to Joshua chapter 1. We'll also be turning to 1 Timothy chapter 4. So our sermon this morning is in light of the fact that we have office bearer installation this morning. Joshua 1, we see the Lord our God encouraging Joshua in the work that God himself is calling Joshua to. So Joshua 1, we'll read the first 9 verses. Hear God's holy word. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. There ends our reading from Joshua. We turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Paul writing to young minister Timothy, encouraging him in his work and his calling in the Church of Jesus Christ. Applied this morning also to the work of elder and deacon. 1 Timothy chapter 4, we'll read verses 12 to 16, which will also be our text this morning. So 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Once again, attend the hearing of God's word. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. There ends a reading of God's holy word. Once again, the text of our sermon will be verses 12 to 16 of 1 Timothy 4. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we have an opportunity to witness something we usually see only once a year. This morning we have the installation of office bearers. These are men whom God has called through a lawful election of the congregation to fill the offices of elder and deacon. But you also have said something as a congregation. What you have said as a congregation is that you will encourage and support the office bearers, that you will keep them in your prayers, that you will be willing to be taught by them. And if they need to rebuke from the deacons, possibly financially, from the elders, possibly spiritually, that you will receive with submission and respect the word that they bring. But as we think about these offices, the offices of elder, of deacon, and of minister, what's the standard or criteria of a successful or fruitful elder or a successful deacon? Is it the goal as an elder or deacon to make sure that no one stumbles because of whatever you say or whatever you do? Not ultimately. Is it just to keep the status quo? Keep everything calm, make sure nobody around here rocks the boat, and then you're successful? No. So what is the criterion? Simply, it is to give oneself entirely to God, and therefore entirely to His church and the service of His people. This is what Paul's reminding Timothy this morning from 1 Timothy chapter 4. Paul here is writing to a young minister named Timothy, and though the office of minister is distinct from elder and deacon, the principles and rationale behind these offices is the same. The office bearers are called to show love, mercy, and care. The love, mercy, and care of Jesus Christ. There's somebody that they represent. They represent the mercy of Christ, the care of Christ, even for the weakest. And so we'll look this morning at three areas where an office bearer is to give himself completely. The first one is piety, or godliness. Second is study. And the third is love. So the first one is piety, or Christian living. In the situation of our text, Paul is writing to young Timothy. Now, Timothy was likely, as most commentators view him, being just younger than 40, likely in his 30s. So he's still older than a number of our office bearers in this congregation, including a couple of the men entering office even this morning. Why would Paul say to Timothy, "Do not let anyone look down on you because you are young"? What's the danger of being young? That should be a good thing, right? Well, realize the danger for a young office bearer is that people may not listen or respect what they have to say. Because after all, what does somebody under 50 know? Certainly in Ephesus, where Timothy was pastor, there were many problems with false teachers. And so picture, you have a false teacher here, 60 years old, and you have a young minister here, 30 years old. And the false teacher says, "Come on. I've been around twice as long as this guy. I've seen it. I know. Listen to me, not to him. This is the context of our text. Paul says, let no one despise your youth. This means let no one look at what you do and think or say, and they think, yes, he's young. If he was older, he would know better. Or this just shows a lack of maturity. Or statements like that. The fact is that God has called you. God has called you. God has called you in your youth or in your age. And there is a way to overcome youthfulness as an office bearer. And this is what an office bearer is called to do. He's called to overcome youthfulness as an office bearer, not just so that people will listen to you or that people will respect you, but even more so, he is called to do this because they are under shepherds of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the sake of his office as a representative of the Good Shepherd. Remember, this is not merely true for ministers and elders, but also for deacons. Remember, they are to show the mercy of the Savior. The solution to the situation of youth is piety or godliness. Brothers, as an office bearer walks, so will the congregation. If an office bearer takes one step into the world, the congregation will take two steps into the world. And the temptations and the pressures await, and the devil is lurking around every corner. But stand fast, brothers, and set an example for the people of God to follow. Set an example so that the congregation and the world around you sees that the gospel has so penetrated your very soul. That in a similar way, when you become a parent, now something is more important than you, your child. In a similar way, let that gospel so penetrate deep into your soul that it flows through your veins. Your heart pumps the doctrines of grace. And that you live in service to Christ. And it's not your own agenda. It's not your own life. It's not your own well-being. But it's the glory of the great King of the Church. It's Jesus Christ whom we serve. It's no longer you who lives, but Christ who lives in you. Well, 1 Timothy 4 mentions six areas where the office bearer's personal life is addressed in our text. And the first thing it says is in word. Adorn your speech with sanctification. This is not referring to preaching for Timothy. This is talking about everyday speech. May it be uplifting. You can say 9 positive things, and all it takes is one thing. One thing said wrongly, or a joke inappropriately told, or something like that, and you undermine the authority that you have built up. We must guard our tongues, season them with the gospel of sanctification. Set an example in word. Let the word of God be on your mouth. Secondly, in conduct. All of life is affected. Your customs, your habits, the way you treat other people, the way you treat your wives, the way you treat your families. Becoming an office bearer is not a divorce from wife and family. It means that you will have to work together in new ways. But make sure, brothers, that you never, ever, ever use your office as an excuse to fail to be a godly husband or to be a godly father. You are first called to be a husband and a father before you're called to be an elder or a deacon or a minister. Holding office in church and filling the calling of husband and father are not an either or option. Well, you either do the office thing or your godly father, husband. No, it is a both command. God calls you to both and faithfulness in both. It's not easy. It's not easy, but God, as we'll see, gives us grace. Third, set an example, brothers, in love. and faith and spirit follow. Love is referring here to interpersonal relationships with each other. We'll speak about this more shortly, but your relationship with all, friend and foe alike, friend and enemy, are to be relationships guided and commanded by love. And fourth and fifth is the spirit and faith. Your relationship with the Lord, though at times it's private, at other times it's public. When you open your homes and you welcome people into your home, will the congregation be able to see the love of Jesus Christ in that place? The way that you pray, the way that you read the scriptures, etc. Your spirit and faith. And then sixth, purity. Conform your life to the law of God. Beware not only of temptations that undermine purity, but even the seeming perception. Flee any appearance of evil. If an office bearer lives in such Christian piety, then there will be no opportunity for others to look down on him because he is young. It's difficult to criticize an office bearer who is a pious or a godly man, a man of integrity. But it's easy to criticize an office bearer who time and again leaves the congregation wondering about his love for God, about his love for his neighbor. And to you, congregation, God has raised up these men at ICRC. And he has done so for a purpose. We believe his sovereign providence in this as well. God has given sinners to serve sinners. Even as a minister, as a dying man preaching to dying men, pray for these brothers often. Pray that God would strengthen them for their calling, that God would impress upon them the urgency of the gospel. Pray that they would recognize the fact that their office is spiritual, because so oftentimes it feels unspiritual. Even as a minister, elder, and deacon, because you have meetings, you have deadlines, you have reports, you have this and that, and administration starts to take over. They need to be reminded and encouraged that their office is spiritual. That according to our church order, the first calling of minister, elder, and deacon is not to attend meetings. It's not even to exercise house visitation. It's to continue in prayer. That's where it begins. To continue in prayer. Continue in prayer. Don't walk out of the house. Don't walk through that door without any tools in your hand. And the greatest tool that we have is prayer and the Word of God. Congregation, uphold the office that these men have been called to. I'm going to tell you something about these elders and deacons right off the bat. They are sinners. They will visit you and they will say something wrong sometime or another. See, on the one hand, the elders and deacons, they're just men. They're just men. On the other hand, they are men who have been called to this office. They have been called to serve you according to the Holy Scriptures. Let God use these men. However, being men of piety outwardly will not make you a good office bearer. Being a man of impiety or recklessness will certainly make you a bad office bearer, but the other is not true. See, John Owen, the Prince of the Puritans, said, in terms of a successful ministry, quote, a minister may fill his pews, his communion roll, the mouths of the public, but what that minister is on his knees in secret before God Almighty, that he is and no more. What that minister is on his knees in secret before God Almighty, that he is and no more. Apply the same to the elders and the deacons. Brothers, what passes through your heart in your prayer closet will pass also into your life. And what passes into your life will pass through your mouth as you conduct house visits, as you conduct needy visits, as you conduct encouragement visits, as you attend council and consistory meetings, etc. Your devotions affect your doing, just as your praying affects your living. Which brings us, secondly, to study. Study. And studying involves time. Time is one of the most precious commodities you will have in life, and especially in church office. And you will not have much of it. Use it well. Be organized. There's much to do and little time to do it. And one of the greatest challenges of the office bearer is balancing responsibilities. Because after all, there's always more to be done. So Paul tells Timothy in verse 13 of our text, "Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." If you look at the qualifications of the office of elder one chapter earlier, 1 Timothy 3, 1-7, most of those characteristics of an elder involve his character. But in verse 2, he's told that he is to be able to teach. In verse 9, deacons are told that they must be, quote, holding fast the mystery of faith with a pure conscience. Titus chapter 1, verse 9 says of the elder that he must be holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and convict those who contradict. All of these things are referring to knowledge. Elders and deacons are not theologically trained in a seminary. Rather, they are taught throughout their whole lives. And as they enter office, they must continue to learn and grow as an office bearer. And two of the greatest ways an elder and deacon grow in their office is by study and mentoring. The more experienced office bearers ought to teach and help the less experienced office bearers. Take them under your wing. Give them advice. The advice that you have gleaned over years of service and experience. Show them when to speak and when to listen. As for study, just like doing anything, you must be taught. Electricians and school teachers, they have to continue their education. They may even have to be recertified. Ministers go to conferences to be encouraged and develop their skills. Doctors and lawyers do the same. Accountants do the same. Elders and deacons, you need to learn to grow. You need to read good books on your offices and in the scriptures. In this region, we have a wonderful opportunity to attend office bearer conferences at least once a year. These are designed for you men. And for you men here who are not office bearers, it is a good thing to desire to be an office bearer. In 1 Timothy 3, verse 1, we read, "This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work." Already, as young men, you should be training to hold church office someday. This is part of the rationale behind a men's Bible study in this church. In part, it's an office bearer training program. Now, brothers, as you think about this text from 1 Timothy 4, it's kind of a heavy text. You know, there's a lot of setting example, conduct, in word, conduct, love, spirit, faith, purity. It's a high standard. When you're about to hang your head low and think who could fill such a calling, remember, it's God who calls. It's God who calls. And if you're sitting here thinking, I don't know if I can meet such a standard. Good. You can't meet such a standard in your own strength. God gives His grace. God gives His grace sufficient for every place He calls us. And so too in church office. God has given you a tremendous calling. He's gifted you with the necessary tools to perform such a calling. Verse 14 says, "Do not neglect the gift that is in you." Interesting that verse 14 connects giftedness with ordination to the ministry. He who calls is also he who supplies. Gifts are received, and they're received from God. May the God who formed David into a shepherd king also form the office bearers of this church into shepherd servants. We must decrease and Christ must increase. As the congregation looks to you for leadership and guidance, point their eyes unto their Savior. Show them in the Scriptures how great the love of the Savior is. Fill your office with the Word of God in your hands. The sheep don't need to hear your voice. They need to hear the voice of the greater shepherd. So devote yourself diligently to the study of God's Word and point the flock to the Savior. Teach them to heed the Savior's voice. Guide them through the valley of the shadow of death and point them to the celestial city. But don't just tell them that. Walk with them there. Walk with them there at their side. Which brings us finally to love. The third aspect of the ministerial calling is love. It's summed up in our text with the idea of giving of oneself. The greatest picture of love in the Scriptures is sacrifice, a laying down of one's life for others. Brothers, love the sheep. Love the sheep. If you don't love the sheep, don't stand before God and His people this morning and say, I do. Don't come forward and sign the form of subscription if you do not love the sheep of God. Give yourself to them. Love them. Open your life, your home, your heart to the flock. Let them know. Make it evident that you genuinely care, not only for their earthly well-being, but even more so, you care about the health of their soul. But one might say, give yourself to the flock. Do you realize, Pastor, if you give yourself to the flock, you leave yourself wide open? You're going to get hurt if you leave yourself open like that. Fine. Get hurt. Be hurt. Hurt for the Savior, if necessary. There will be times where you will be hurt. There will be times where you will be criticized. There will be times where you won't be included. There might be times where you're not receiving fair treatment. True. Fine. But that does not change our heartfelt inclination to love this people of God in this place. This is where He's called us. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love doesn't excuse sins, it covers them. And love in church office must have a short memory. Love as an elder or deacon rejoices with a couple when they welcome a child into the world. Love mourns with a family who recently gathered around a hospital bed to watch their loved one breathe their last. Love as an office bearer empathizes with the couple who has a child that does not walk with the Lord. An office bearer who loves hurts when they hurt, rejoices when they rejoice, mourns when they mourn, prays when they pray, and listens when they need to talk. Love them. Love the people of God. But remember, as I've mentioned this before, I'm mentioning it again because it's that important. You have more than one calling. Your highest calling is to God, then to your family, and then to the church. These callings need not be exclusive of each other. They ought to complement each other. But never use church office as an excuse to not be there when your family needs you. Your wives know that as they hear this sermon, the calling of the office of their husbands, that the road will not be the easiest to walk. Your wives have a tremendous calling in this as well. Wives, help your husbands do these things. Encourage them in piety, not only in the home, but also in private devotions. Encourage him to study, spend time with his children, to be faithful in his office. In congregation, the calling is not only immense for office bearers, but also for you. Provide the encouragement these men and their wives need. Be willing to be taught from the Word of God. Have hearts ready and open to hear the gospel, that you may grow into maturity in Jesus Christ. And finally, brothers, take heed to yourself and your doctrine.
love and appreciate the doctrine of salvation. Love the doctrines of grace. Do not be blown about with every wind of doctrine, but test with the Word of God whatever comes your way. For in so doing, then God may use you for His glory. People of God, we are trophies of the grace of God. We who are least deserving of the mercy of the grace of God, He has given it to us. God has ordained offices in His church for the glory of His name, for us as the people of God, as the bride of Jesus Christ. Even in this process of becoming more beautiful, as the kingdom of God grows, let us thank God that He has shown His grace so clearly. And He continues to work among us, using sinners to encourage sinners. May God be pleased in this place. Elders and deacons, God has given you a unique calling to service. And remember, and this is for all of us, congregation, remember that service is not first of all to the congregation. It's first and foremost to the Lord our God. This is our life. Our identity is in Jesus Christ. That's our name. And our service in life is to God in Jesus Christ. In all situations, in all places. May God give you grace in your offices. And may we as members of ICRC encourage you, pray for you, uphold you. May God use you men to grow us in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And may we continue to walk together unto that great city of God. Amen.